Praise the Lord. Man, that's lively. That's what I like to hear. Well, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for the wonderful people that are here. These are your children. We're all your children. And we want to praise you, thank you, and worship your precious name. Thank you, Jesus, for making this all possible. Because of your word, we are here to worship and praise the Father. And we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Well, this has been quite a morning. I started off at getting up early this morning and having a very nice, leisurely breakfast. And then, boom, the hammer fell. quite a few things were happening. I want to ask you, folks, how many of you have given the Lord thanks and praise this morning? Amen. That's what I want to hear. There is so many things to be thankful for. And I was thinking this morning that after I got a call from our pastor, Bill, he called me and he had to go to the hospital. There was something going on in his belly. We don't know what it is. He has no idea what it is, but it's. He says it seems like there's an awful lot of loose fluid running around. He says, I don't understand what's going on, but he says, I've got to go see the doctor. So he's in probably in the emergency today. So when we get finished, we'll have to go and see him. You know, there are many things that we have to be thankful for. The simple reason being your next breath. Every breath you take is a gift of the Lord. Just think about that. It's only a heartbeat away from you going into eternity. Be thankful for all things and in all things. That's, oh, man. What an amazing song. That covers everything. You may be seated. Bless you. Isn't it amazing how when you go through the whole Bible, you find that Jesus is in every chapter, every book. He is through the whole book. And to me, that is just it's a blessing. When I hear that, I thought the first time I heard it, I thought, oh, man, are they going to go through the whole book? Yeah. And, you know, when I realized what they were saying and how they were going through it, how Jesus does it all, does it all. This morning's message is going to be called Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. And I've got a few notes here. Now, what happened this morning is I was telling you that Pastor Bill, we're going to pray for him in just a minute. He got up this morning and he called me at 9 o'clock and he says, Harry, he says, I'm very frustrated. He says, it's been a bad morning. And then he told me that he was having trouble with his stomach. And I thought, oh boy, now what do we do? And I said, well, okay. I said, we'll take care of it. We'll have church and we'll praise the Lord and we'll worship the Lord. And he says, I really covet the prayers of the church. And I'll tell you, the prayers of this church are mighty. They are powerful because the Lord answers prayer. And the things that I'm going to tell you about today is, it's quite interesting. It's been a very strange week. It's been a good week. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, it's such a joy to be in your house this morning and to worship you and your Son Jesus through your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father. We thank you for each and every person that's here today. We ask you to bless them and fill them with your word that you have for us today, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless and multiply the offerings and tithes that we are about to collect here, Heavenly Father, to be used for the furtherance of your kingdom here on this earth. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Bill. Praise the Lord. On Sunday, May the 12th, that's next Sunday, is Mother's Day. Honor the women of God in your life. That is a good suggestion. Yeah, today's lesson is going to be about Thanksgiving. And I was just wondering how many of you people, and I've already asked you, how many of you have given thanks to the Lord and praising Him? Amen. Amen. And I was really enjoying this music this morning. The one that I got the kick out of was to preach good news. He's anointed you to preach good news. And I took that literally. I asked the Lord to anoint me with the good news. So I'll give you some of the sad news first. Because did you ever notice that in the Psalms, when David wrote a psalm, it was always, at first he would lament, or if he was in a soulful frame of mind, he would say, Lord, all these people are against me. This is against me. These people are doing this, and they're trying to kill me. They're trying to do this. And he was always, as if it seemed like he was always in some kind of trouble or problem. But then, at the end, but the Lord reigns. And he was always full of joy. And you could see the joy that he had and the comfort that the Lord was with him at all times. The Lord rose up inside him, and he would say, yes, but otherwise, I know all these things are going on, but if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. And that's exactly what my words are. This past week, on Monday morning, Bill Franz and Bob Romero and I were working out in the front here. We were taking down one of the bushes. Lowell, did you notice? Well, that bush is gone. That was a dirty bush. Some of those fitchers they get to be so scraggly and so obnoxious that you finally have to just cut them off the base and get rid of them. So that's what we did. And while we were working, I got a call from Marie, my wife, and she said that our son went for a colonoscopy and they found cancer in his colon. Okay. Immediately we went into prayer, the three of us. And I had a release. It was just done. I wasn't going to worry about it anymore. And I turned to Bob and I says, what do people without the Lord do? What do they do without God? And Bob's answer, in his many words that he says all the time, is he says, they don't. That's it. They don't. I feel sorry. How's that? Yeah, well, he's a yakker, isn't he? Yeah. He's like Bill. You ever work with those two guys? You don't hear anything. All you can hear is the machine running or whatever. You know, it says that. A lot of words. But yet there is a lot of good time that we have together. We fellowship. And we do it with thanksgiving. If it wasn't for those two guys, I was wondering how I'd have to get home and talk to Marie or do something. I had to talk to somebody. I had to have somebody near me. I needed another person, another believer next to me. And praise God, I thank God that Bill and Bob are there. You see, now there is a way of what you call release and releasing something to the Lord and just giving it to Him now. I talked to Barry yesterday, my son. We went to visit him, and they had a lot of things done in their house, and it was looks pretty good. The amazing thing is that when we talked to him, he had just seen me go through the esophageal cancer that I had, and it was removed. Now, I'll tell you, I've done this, I've told you this before. When I found out that I had this cancer, that was in October, beginning of October, I told the Lord that that is it. There's not going to be any more. That's going to take care. You're going to take care of it. I'm not going to worry about it. I don't want any part of it. If it's in me, I don't care. You're going to get rid of it. It's something that I don't need. And from that time on, I told everybody in the church here, if you're going to pray for me, pray once and then just thank Him for what He's doing in my life. Praise Him for what He's doing in my life. And that's how you get rid of things. It's through praise and thanksgiving. What is thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is worship. This is something that people don't understand. Now, I've got a few notes here that I hastily wrote down this morning. Psalm 95:2. Turn to that. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extend to him with music and song. Extol him with music and song. You know, the most beautiful part is, let us come before him with thanksgiving. In other words, you're going to come into God's presence boldly with thanksgiving. And then in Psalm 100, just the next page, let me turn to that. It is Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks unto him and praise his name. Now, it's not just because he's been good to you. It's not because you had something to eat or you had shelter or that you had something good happen to you, like getting a raise or getting a job. But you do this every day. Give thanks to the Lord. I have found that in my spirit, the more I thank God and the more I praise him all day long, whatever I'm doing, if I get a moment that I don't have to do anything, I just praise God. I just thank him for it because he is there listening to you. He's in your spirit. Your spirit is listening to his spirit. Like they said, if you could just get your spirit tuned into his spirit that is in you and then get it into your brain, you'd be amazingly full of wisdom. You'd be so wise, you'd be blowing people away. But there seems to be a stumbling block between his spirit and our spirit. And that's why we have to train our spirits to become more in tune with God. And when you do, he gives you more strength, more courage, more power over the enemy. It's amazing how this works. Jesus has never failed any of us. He hasn't. We can be thankful for everything that he's done for us so far. One is what he did for us on the cross. Now, Hebrews 12:28. Man, I got notes here that I had to do this in a hurry, so you'll have to excuse me for being a little slow. 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. That is beautiful. Thankfulness is worship. Praising the Lord is worship. There are times when I can tell you that I was sitting at the table one day, and I was reading the Word, and suddenly the Spirit of God hit me. Not hit me. He overcame me. Well, sometimes he needs to slap me upside the head. Yeah, sometimes he does have to hit me. But I was sitting there, and I thought, where would I be without my God? Where would I be without the Holy Spirit in me? Where would I be without Jesus? Without giving thanks, your spirit becomes dead. It withers. Thanksgiving and praise is the most important part of your life, because that way you worship God, like I said, all day long. Continue to worship him. 1 Timothy 4:3. Now, this beginning seems a little strange. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Amazing, isn't it? Now, I know there's a lot of people that have a problem with eating certain foods. I can understand that. That's their believing, and that's how they feel. If that's what the Lord does, that's fine. Now, when it comes to abstaining from certain foods, there are people that abstain from certain foods. There are some people who abstain from watching TV. There are some people that abstain from doing anything. Myself, good morning. Myself, I would rather just have the Lord tell me what is good and what is bad for my own purpose in life. And he does. He's taken me from many, many things. I used to do a lot of things that the Lord was not pleased with. And I'm telling on myself, that's okay. But when he showed me what is wrong in these things, it was amazing. I remember one time I was having lunch with a guy up in Grand Lake. And as we were having dinner, at that time. And suddenly, my throat choked up. It just seized. It was clamped down. I could barely breathe. And I couldn't figure what was going on. So I went to the pharmacy down the street, the drugstore, and I asked him what I could do. The guy says, I can't tell you anything. He says, I'm not a doctor. He says, I can only give medication. I can only supply you with the medication that the doctor suggests. In the meantime, I'm choking. I'm in trouble. And I didn't know what to do. So then I said, Lord, I said, you got to take this away. Take this away. I found out that when I was having a beer with my dinner, that was way back, the beer actually froze my throat. And I went to see the doctor, and this is when I became just a young Christian. And I asked him, I said, what would cause this? And he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I had a beer. He said, ah. He says, don't drink any more beer. And I thought, oh. Okay, if that's what I have to do, that's fine. You know, it didn't bother me. And I thought, you know, that's sort of strange. And, you know, maybe it was just that type of beer. You know. Of course, I'm going to make an excuse, aren't I? I mean, you know, I enjoyed it because it was a hot day and I was thirsty. You know, that it's a great thirst quencher. Well, water does the same thing, but I found out that iced tea does better. So anyways, as I was... I figured, no more beer. So then about 2 years later, my sister came up, and she says, it was a hot day. And I asked her, I think I got a bottle of beer down in the basement. You want one? You want some? So we brought it up. And I gave her half a glass. I gave her half the bottle. I took a sip. Bang. That was it. I put a glass down, poured it down the sink, and got rid of it. And I told her, I says, no more for me. And I haven't touched it since. So, in little ways, God shows you what to do. There are times when you think, well, oh, that's just my mind. That's just something else. Maybe it's just a passing thing, you know. No. When he wants you to stop something, he'll tell you. He'll show it to you in different ways, in very small things. Very small things. It might be just a small suggestion. Or you might have a thought, that, well, maybe I shouldn't do that, you know. I don't see how I could help. It wouldn't hurt anything. You know? And before you know it, you're in trouble. And then you realize, he did say something, didn't he? God, like they say with the Ten Commandments, they're not suggestions. They are instructions. The law, the Torah, is actually instruction, the book of instructions. You break the instructions, if mother says don't do it, and you do it. You break her instructions, you get the slap upside the head, which is normal, which is the way it should be. And God does discipline his children. We are his children. Now, there's another thing that happened today after Bill had called. You know, Bill's on my mind right now. Let's pray for Bill right now. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that we can stop right now and just think about Bill, and you're going to touch his heart, touch his body, touch his mind, and give him peace. Whatever it is that he was attacked by, I've already said that the enemy is gone and taken with him, and Bill will be freed from this affliction. So Jesus, in your name we pray for Bill's healing, strength, comfort, and peace that passes all understanding. And he will be back shortly. And it'll be over today. And we give you praise and glory for Jesus. In your name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Then after Bill had called, I got a call from Canada. My nephew called. And he said that he was having a problem. And he wanted to hear from me. Chris is a truck driver. And he drove from Canada to the States and back again. He drove everything, whatever is going to Canada, he'd pick up and take it back to Canada. Whatever had to come to the States, he'd take it from Canada to the States. Back and forth, back and forth. And he would come by here, once in about every 6 months he'd come through and we'd be able to visit with him. Well, his girlfriend has a problem with her religion. She doesn't understand it yet. And we prayed about it. Marie and I have been praying about it. The kids have been praying. And she is into the Wiccan organization, I guess, or whatever you would call it. It's a religion. And it's taking Chris down with her. Well, it seems that she's being very depressed. Now, Marie and I have been praying about Chris, that he gets back to the Lord. He's been playing games, and he's out of order. And today I told him, I says, Chris, you got to get back to the Lord quick and solid. Stop fooling around. Stop playing games. It's time to be serious. I told him, I says that his mother, he could listen to her. She's learning an awful lot about the Lord lately. She's showing some great signs of improvement in herself. Her whole demeanor is changing. And my sister is doing real good. Now, here's something I can praise the Lord about, too. Terry came to visit us, my sister, from Canada, about 15, 20 years ago. That was one of the first visits. And we went to a meeting where Joe Brown, I believe it was, Joe Brown was preaching. And he called the two of us up from the seats and he says, come up here. And he told her, he says, you won't like this, but he says, the older one will learn from the younger. Well, I'm a year and a half younger, but she's much older than I am. She's a year and a half older. And she's an old woman. She's 85. She's 85. Can you believe that? Anyways, it's hard to understand that how fast we're growing old, how fast time flies, kids. Believe me, time is flying. It's very fast. And she sat in the car when it was over. And she says, I've never heard such nonsense. She was just all upset about it. Then when about 10 years later, we were up at the cabin. We were talking, and she asked me a question about the Bible. And there it was. That was the end of that. We talked for days about that. And every time she phones me on the phone, every time she calls me or I call her, we're talking about the Lord. She wants to know more about the Lord, more about the Bible, more about the, what does it mean here? What does this mean? And it's a praise the Lord. The word of God will never come back void. The word of God is always solid. It's always true. He's just waiting for you to talk to him. All he wants you to do is ask him and you'll receive. Ask and you'll receive. Believe in your heart what you pray. Was it Mark 11, 20, 23, 24? Read those words. They are true. You know that one thing more I want to talk about. That when we give thanks to the Lord, when you pray and you give thanks to the Lord, you can be sure of one thing. He will give you the victory over anything. He wants his children to praise and thanksgiving, to be in joy and peace. Believe me, we have so much to be thankful for in this country. And yet, how many people are filling the churches? Very few. A lot of churches are closing. Why? People don't have any reason to go to the church. They have everything. They think. They think that they have all the goodness of life. They have a car. They got a job. They got this. They got that. No. When things get solid, and I'm talking about the troubles that are coming, like I had on the screen here when we were singing, that there are perilous times are coming. And I thought that was a good little note. There are some perilous times coming because this country is broke. Make no mistake, this country is broke. The present administration is breaking this country, and the previous administration started the whole job. Well, two or three presidents before that. But be careful. Watch where you are. Watch things around you. Keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open. Be ready for anything that comes. Because the Lord, if you're in his hands, he'll take care of you. He says so. It's in his word. His word says he will take care of his children. When you ask for a piece of bread, would he give you a stone? No. He'll feed you. He'll take care of us. I think that you understand what my message is. Give thanks unto the Lord at all times. Praise him all the time. Walk with him. Talk with him. He wants to hear from you. Amen. Father, we thank you and praise you for this time. We thank you, Father, that the message that you have given me, even though it was quick, it was something that needed to be said. We praise you, thank you, and give you glory, Father, for sending Jesus, our Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What more can be said but praise your holy name? I thank you, Lord, for these people. Bless them now. Go with them wherever they need to go. Walk with them. Talk with them. Let them hear you, Father. Let them hear you, Jesus, through your wonderful Holy Spirit. Are all hearts clear? Are there any things that, is there anybody that needs prayer for anything? Okay. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hello. Don and I support a mission called World Compassion. It's amazing when you hear these missionaries going out into really dangerous territory because they do missions in Iraq, Iran, and they live in Afghanistan, and they've even been in, you know, in Saudi Arabia somewhat. Very dangerous places for Christians. But what a huge testimony that what's going on there. The pastor's name that was released, Jamal, basically the police just showed up at his door one day, this is in Iraq, and arrested him, and they didn't charge him with anything. He was taken and not charged with anything. He was kept in prison for over 15 months. Terry Laud basically was a friend of his. He didn't know what to do, but through some processes of contacting senators and so forth, he was actually able to contact the prime minister in a certain area, and the first time that this has ever been used was a presidential pardon. This is in a Muslim country. So this is the miracle of what God is doing in some of these places, the miracle. The first time that a presidential pardon was ever used, and it's in a Muslim country for a Christian. Now, that's the power of God. He was released, okay? You know, and it wasn't because Terry Law knew how to make this happen, okay? This is one of the interesting things to me about what's going on in the Muslim countries is that there's a revival going on. God's miracles and so forth is drawing the Muslim people to himself. And one of the reasons they're seeing that is because, see, they see the evil in the governments. So they see a problem. So it's automatically they're being drawn. And when they see a miracle, you know, or when God shows them something, they're looking for another religion. And it's almost like you see more conversions in the Muslim countries than you do here. Now, we need a move of God here. But there's so many people depending on the government, they're not looking for God for their answers. And then he gets up and says that he's expecting a revival in a place that I'm thinking, oh my goodness, there's already a revival. I think the cool part, and I can do a little bit of prophecy here, is that God is going to do a revival in those Muslim countries, and we're going to see more Christians in those Muslim countries than you can possibly imagine. And not only that, when we find this next thing that's going to happen in Psalm 83, I believe that Israel will own that area. A great part of the Muslim countries will be owned by Israel soon. Watch for another six-day war. Maybe it's going to be a five-day war. I don't really know what God's going to do exactly. It appears that when the enemy comes in Psalm 83 against Israel, they will win by another miracle. Okay, Israel will win. Israel will win by, it says right there in Psalm 83. You can read about it. When that happens, Israel will be a Christian nation, basically. There'll be more Christians in Israel in the territory that they own. And this is how God is going to love those people. God is going to love those people by giving them Christians that they got to. It's how they're going to treat Christians, ultimately, that they will see the love of God in this. Okay, and I think that that's more of a prophetic thing that I'm speaking here. But it's a really cool thing about what God is doing in the world to love his people. And as we understand how he's loving Israel, that's how he's loving you. If you do not know Christ, watch Israel, because they don't know him either. This is how he protects you until you get to know him. That's why God is not against us, any of us, annihilating anybody on the earth. You think you can annihilate somebody, well, wrong. It's just 10 million people. You realize there's only 10 million Jews in the world? There's about 5 million in Israel, about 5 million here in the United States, and then there's a few others scattered around. But there's only about 10 million Jews. They have not been annihilated by the grace of God. That is a picture of how much he protects us until we get to know him. So I just want to bring out that parable too. God is at work in the world, And it's, what's going on here in the United States is we voted in a Muslim into the White House. It's almost like the Muslim stand, this is the last place for the Muslim stand. We're still here. The enemy has never been able to wipe out Christians. There's always a remnant, and we will be here no matter what. Amen?
Yeah, this Psalm 83 that he was talking about, I'm just reading a book on that right now. And it's amazing. The 10 nations that are coming in against Israel. They're right around on the border of Israel, all 10 of them. And they are going to form an alliance. It's in the Word. They're going to form an alliance, and they're going to attack Israel. But because of the grace of God and the power of God, Israel is going to take over. And it actually is prophesied in the Bible, which has always come true. There isn't anything in the Bible that hasn't come true. The amazing part is that Israel is going to take over Saudi Arabia and Gaza and Lebanon and Syria, northern, middle, and southern Jordan and Egypt. It's amazing, guys. But it's in there, Psalm 83. The trouble is, they have different names for the countries, and that makes it a little difficult to understand. But there are some men that, there was one guy by the name of Bill Gallus, who has written a book on Psalm 83. And it is something to read, believe me. Okay, enough of that. We'll talk about that later. All hearts clear. Well, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the blessing that you've given us. We ask, Lord, that you sanctify the food that is coming, that we are going to receive today in the fellowship. Bless each one, Father, as people that have to leave, bless their way. Go with them, protect them, and give them strength and courage to speak to others that need to hear your blessed word, Jesus. In all things, we praise you and give you thanks and glory. And all who are in agreement say, amen. Amen.